If you have your Bibles today, open them up to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians comes right after 1 Corinthians, also known as 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses from this passage. This is one of the letters written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, to the people in Corinth who were called Corinthians. This is the second letter, actually. Scholars think these books that we have, 2 Corinthians, may have been as many as three or four different letters. But the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 6. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. He's writing and he says this basically. Everything I go through serves a purpose. Even if it doesn't serve a purpose directly for me, it serves a purpose for you as an example for you to see. Verse 7, he says, and our hope for you is firm. Because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. Your Bible may say ignorant. Does anybody's version say ignorant? Okay. We do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He was saying basically that even when I go through hard times, and it got so hard and I felt helpless and maybe even began to feel hopeless, I found my foundation when I went through a shaking. And verse 10 says, He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. And He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. There's hope. It's hope. It's a crazy world out there these days. A lot is going on. And the stakes are high. I want to tell you that I know that. But I'm not afraid. I titled this sermon, I Know, But I Ain't Scared. That's how we say it here in East Texas. I know, but I ain't scared. I ain't scared. I know there's a lot going on. I know there's a lot at stake. I know that there are riots in the streets. I know that there are people roaming around who want to do nothing but hurt people. I know that the economy is shaky. I know all that stuff, but I ain't scared. I ain't scared because I have a hope that is placed in something even beyond this world. Now, Paul, he's writing to this group in Corinth, which is shared with all everybody who read these letters. When they went to a church, they read it, and they passed it to another church. And it's how they became so well known and preserved and saved for the canon of Scripture. But he wanted to set the record straight. You see, there were many rumors going around, circulating around concerning Paul. Some were saying that he went off the deep end. Some were saying that he's kind of lost it. Some were saying that he's just a manipulator. And there were all these, and these rumors were being spread and taught by other supposed ministers of the gospel. And Paul, he wanted to set the record straight. Now, the same can be said today that sometimes there are many rumors circulating even today, right? There's a lot of noise. That's what it sounds like, noise. There's so many things so many different things and this rah, 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 it just sounds like noise in our ears sometimes. We are drowning in opinions. And the truth is sometimes very, very quiet. But again, this is nothing new. Paul is writing about this same type of thing in his day. Paul's opponents were running a smear campaign against him. And we have just seen evidence of many smear campaigns. And I got so sick and tired of hearing all that. It was almost like they quit talking about the good things about themselves or what they thought they could accomplish, and they were spending more time talking about the negative things of the other person. And it was just, I got so sick and tired of that. I got so sick and tired of it. I'm glad it's over. These political parties today, they think they've invented this smear campaign business, but it's as old as the hills, folks. As old as the hills. Paul, he wants those whom he loves to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. He said, I know you've heard a lot of stuff about me. I know you've heard a lot of things about my intentions, about my desires, and about the things that I've gone through. And I know you've heard a lot of things about me, but I want you to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. This is for me, directly to you, not by way of CNN, not by way of Fox News, not by way of ABC News, not by way of radio or the internet. This is straight from me to you, straight from the horse's mouth. Did you know it makes a difference where you get your information from? Matter of fact, some of you, how many of you remember, I'm going to speak to the adults here, how many of you remember doing research projects, research papers and whatnot in school? Okay. Now, our kids still do research papers and projects. Did you know that in a lot of cases, there's some websites that the teachers will say, this is not a valid or approved source. You may not use that. You may not use Wikipedia as a credible source. Okay? Why? Because anybody can get in there and make the Wikipedia thing. They can change it, modify it, and it really becomes a matter of opinion and less about fact. It makes a difference where you get your information from. We live in a society that says all information is equal. How many of you have noticed on Facebook, there's all these, there'll be this blurb on there, and it says, first one comes to mind, Trump wins 99% of the votes, and you click on it, it takes you away to some page, and it talks about something completely different, and they're just trying to pull you away, but they're flashing all kinds of stuff up there, you know, positive, negative, mostly negative. It's just crazy. It makes a difference where you get your information from. All information is not equal. I could go right now and I could post something on Facebook, and people will believe it. Why do they believe it? Because it pops up on their phone. Well, he said it. It must be true. After all, it's on the internet. It has to be true, right? Bonjour. Bonjour. Most of what you hear and see on the news, whether it's on radio, the TV, or the newspapers, or the internet, has been either diluted, which means watered down, or polluted, means added to. Most of it is not straight just the truth. It's either less than the truth or more than the truth. Extra stuff added. Well, Paul, he wants to clear up any misspoken things about the truth. Okay? And in verse 8, he uses the word as translated. You may have it as ignorant, or you may have it as uninformed. It's the same word that was translated in some versions, translated ignorant. Some of the newer translations translated it unaware. It means the same thing. Ignorant is not stupidity. Okay, that's a big difference. Ignorant is not stupid. Ignorant just means there's information that you don't have. Okay, stupid is you have the information and you made a bad choice with the good information you had. I'm not talking about stupid. I'm talking about ignorant. Ignorant just means if we were going to talk about nuclear fission, I would have to confess to you, I am completely ignorant on nuclear fission. I know it's a word. I don't really even know what it means. But I know it means something that I don't know, and so I'm ignorant of the fact. Okay? I've never given birth physically to a child, so I am ignorant about the pains of labor. Okay? I have had a kidney stone. Which my sources tell me is much worse than labor pains. I read it on the internet. I want to mention three different types of ignorant. Okay? There is the innocent ignorant. It's innocent ignorant. This is, they never heard, never had an opportunity to learn yet. And when I think about this, I think of a child who's learning words, learning how to speak. And in our house, and it's the only example I could think of, Zachary. I'm going to have to use it. I'm sorry. It's what it is. It's not the other one. One is approved for church audience and the other one is not. We will not use the one that's not. But Zachary, when he was little, we would let him sleep in our room on occasion, special occasions, but not in our bed. And so we would make a pallet on the floor or make a mattress on the floor. Well, Zachary always got the two confused, so it was not a mattress or a pallet. It was a mallet. And it became the mallet. He liked to sleep on a mallet. And that's what we called it, and so now we still call it a mallet. Well, my dog sleeps on her own mallet on the floor. But to somebody else, that doesn't make sense. Well, it was cute, okay? And that's that innocent type of ignorance, what I'm talking about. If you've been around children, you know that they say some of the darndest things, right? They'll even make a show about that one of these days. Kids say the darndest things. But that's an innocent type of ignorance, okay? I just don't know. There is the indifferent type of ignorance. This is, I don't care enough to know. I'm apathetic, all right? And also, it's really I don't care enough to know. It's also, I choose not to know. Okay, I know that in Slim Jim, the product Slim Jim, you know, oh yeah, snap open a Slim Jim. Oh yeah, Randy the, whatever his name was, the wrestler guy, who? The Macho, Randy the Macho Man. Oh yeah. He would open up this Slim Jim, and I eat Slim Jims, and they are good. Okay? I'm told they're not good for you. I'm told that there is stuff in there that is just, you know, well, here's the deal. I don't want to know. I am indifferent to that information. I don't want to know what's in there. I don't care to know. I just know I like it. There's another kind of ignorance, and probably one of the most dangerous kind of ignorance. It's the confident ignorance. This is the people that are truly misinformed. They think they know and are confident and adamant that what they know is the truth. Okay? Now, maturity happens when we get to the place where we know that we don't know what we don't know. We know that we don't know what we don't know. We come to a point where we say, there's stuff out there I just don't know. And I admit it. And I don't know about even what I don't know about. And that's what's called maturity. And some Americans, I believe, right now need to grow up a little bit and admit that there are some things that they just don't know about. I mean, how many, because of this recent election cycle, how many brand new political experts do we have that know all about foreign policy and all about, you see what I mean? There's some people just need to go and say, hey, this is beyond my pay grade. I don't understand all this stuff. There's information that I don't have access to, and I can't really make an educated decision on that. I can't make a judgment on that. There are a lot of people running around today throwing temper tantrums and yelling about what America should be. They don't know, that the freedoms we enjoy today is only because of what happened yesterday and the day before and the years before and the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, the drafting of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Everything that man has done is a result of some other man doing something previously. And that man, I'm talking is mankind in general. Women, you're included in that. Men, women. The only anything that humankind has done has been based upon somebody else before them doing something to build that foundation to build upon. When you think about the technologies, you know, Bill Gates didn't just come in and say, "Hey, I got a great idea. Why don't we get some sand, melt it down, and make silicone?" I think that's how they make silicone. Maybe I'm ignorant of that fact, but he didn't come up with that idea. He took somebody else's stuff, some inventions that somebody else had made, and said, "I can use that to accomplish something over here." And that's what's always happened. And somebody else took that and said, "Hey, we could take that. We could connect them all together. We can call it the internet." And somebody else said, "And that'd be a great way to get in and confuse a lot of people." People are running around complaining about this country, and they don't know the first thing about the price that was paid for us to have the right to express our opinion. When we honored the veterans in this room a while ago, and Haskell honored the veterans from his very own family, I know that there are many, many more represented in this room. They paid a price. They may not have given their life or even been wounded in combat somewhere, but by signing up, by taking that oath, saying, "I vow to defend this country against enemies foreign and domestic," and they said, "I will be the one that stands in the gap." And that's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for their families. It's a sacrifice for the freedoms that they gave up to be there and be accountable and steady for us as a nation. And people forget that. They don't forget it. They choose not to know about it. They say, "Well, that doesn't affect me." Oh, yes, it does. The only reason you're standing here is because it affects you. You see, there's an ignorance going on. Paul said, "I don't want you to be misinformed about the price that was paid. I have paid a terrible price." He's talking about all the suffering that he's gone through and the beings that he's gone through. But ultimately, the price that was paid by Jesus Christ. The hope that you have today did not come cheap. An ignorant hope is really no hope at all. And Paul said, "My hope came the hard way, folks. My hope came the hard way." In verse 10, it says, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us." That's hope, folks. That's hope. But it only means something if you know. Not heard. Not thought. Not wished. Paul said, "I've had trouble. I'm in trouble right now as we speak. But there are some things that I know that I know that I know. And I ain't scared. I know about the uncertainties of this life. And I'm concerned. It's not that I don't care. I know they're there. And I know the struggle is real. I'm not saying it's not. I know it's there. But I'm not afraid." He said, "I need you to know the true source of my hope. How I can be hopeful even with all that's been going on, I need you to know the true source of my hope." You see, I ran across this statement this week. It says, Paul is saying, "I got to tell you something, friend. My hope, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away." How many of you are glad that there is a hope that the world did not give you, therefore, cannot take it away? It doesn't come from the right or from the left. My hope is not red or blue. My hope comes with eyes of fire riding a white horse with the armies of heaven right behind him. That's where my hope comes from. The Bible says, I will look up into the hills from which cometh my strength. But first, before Jesus comes on that white horse, splitting the sky, open up the sky, come down, woo, the trumpet sounding, in a twinkling of an eye. Let me tell you something. Before all that, Christ bought the hope for us. He humbled himself and gave his life on a humiliating cross to pay my debt and to pay your debt in order that I might have the true hope that only Jesus Christ can give. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says this. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It says this hope is an anchor. These massive ships that come in and float around the seas, they can be held in place by these anchors. And when they are firmly planted on the seabed, the ship will not move because there is an anchor there. Jesus Christ is our anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. It does not fail. It enters into the sanctuary behind the curtain. He gives us access. This curtain that Paul is talking about is the curtain that was torn in two at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that separated everybody from the presence of God inside the Holy Holies. There was a curtain there, big old thick curtain. And it was, Scripture says it was rent in two, means torn, ripped, destroyed, given access. Well, Jesus is inside the Holy of Holies of heaven. And He gives us direct access. Hope that is rooted in the very presence of God. A direct line. Not through the news radio. Not through the TV. Not through popular opinion. But rooted in the presence of God Almighty Himself. There is hope, folks. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Whether or not you voted for the president-elect or you voted for the other opponent, it doesn't matter any longer. The truth is, about half our country is pretty upset and about half of our country is pretty happy. I say that. There's probably a good contingency that goes, we were in a mess either way. Okay, but all that's done. So whether you were happy or you were upset or you were indifferent or you chose to be ignorant about it, it doesn't matter because our hope is not based upon who's in the White House. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Here's the truth, folks. Here's the truth. If you put your hope on anything else than Jesus Christ, you put your hope on sinking sand, something that will not stand, it will not prevail, it will not last. Maybe it's your retirement income, your 401k, your life insurance, your health insurance, your spouse, your kids. None of that is as eternal as Jesus Christ. And the only reason you have access to all of eternity in heaven is because of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is our hope. He is our hope. He is our everything. He is our everything. So folks, in this day and age of turmoil, of riots, of craziness, of opinions, you got to filter out the truth. Some of it's watered down, some of it's added to. The only thing you can know for sure that is true is Jesus Christ. And His Word, which we have recorded, is called the Holy Bible. So if you want to know the truth, read the Word. And the truth will set you free. Father in heaven, we come before You today. Lord, we thank You for the great truth of Scripture. We thank You for the sacrifice that You have given us. You've given for us. Father, You bought freedom for us. You stood in the gap. Lord, You are the true and great veteran. And Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us something that we can plant ourselves firmly in and trust and hope because it is true and right. Lord, help us. Help us not be ignorant about the things of this world. Help us not be ignorant about the Word of God. Help us to desire to know the truth and not be ignorant any longer. And Lord, that doesn't mean dumb or stupid. That just means not having the knowledge. Lord, You've given us the knowledge to have. May we take part of it. May we ingest it. May we digest it. May we become internalized. May it become part of who we are, Your truth. For us, for our households, for our circles of influence, Father, for our country, for Your world, Father, use us in Jesus' name.